Hello, this is Kinnack, also known as Landon Winkler, coming back for the 11th Metroplexity podcast. It does not, in fact, go to 10. It goes one higher. So if you're ever wondering why the Kingdom of Loathing guys are funny, I'm not funny, just refer back to that comment and how incredibly funny they could have possibly made that, and how I just, like, whoosh. So, yeah. So if you're like, wow, why is Metroplexity so serious? Right there. Right there. Okay, so, that said, big couple weeks. Mentioned last podcast that I was going to be moving. That is done-ish. We've got almost all of our stuff here. We just need to clean out the old apartment and hand over the keys by the first, that sort of thing. Had a to put it mildly, a bit of a hiccup. Last weekend, my wife had a stomach ache that ended up with us going to the emergency room and turned out to be appendicitis. So we were very glad that we went to the emergency room. So, things that I found out about appendicitis that might may be helpful in your future, if you, you know, ever develop appendicitis or run into someone who is in the process of having appendicitis. Turns out that it actually starts hurting, like, usually around your belly button, then over the course of a couple of excruciating hours, wanders down to where the appendix actually is, sort of in the lower left, lower right, if you're looking at something else. Did not know that. Still ended up going to the emergency room, so it worked out okay. So, if you see someone who's beating those symptoms, it'd be a good idea to give them to the hospital, because they might have to, you know, like, ditch an organ. And unfortunately, they don't give you a like, kick-ass cybernetic appendix. It's like 50% more effective than the normal appendix because it would still kind of be zero, and that would be kind of a waste. Still a shame, though. They don't get a kick-ass cyber appendix. I've been... if you're wondering why I sound tired or why I may have been super, super cranky in any bug reports you sent, I only noticed it talking to Llama Man. But I'm sure that there's somebody else that I've been like, oh my god, why are you complaining about these things that are obviously super important, but I don't want to deal with them right now? That's because I've been taking care of my sick wife. All of that. Finishing up the move, because we had most of our stuff over, and we actually were setting up our living room and had gone to the, while we made a ton of progress over the weekend, viewing of Iron Man 2, which was actually surprisingly good, and then had come home and was like, wow, my stomach hurts, I must have had too much popcorn at the theater, and then, downhill from there. Ended up spending Sunday night in the hospital without any sleep, haven't really managed to catch up yet for whatever reason. That's been my life in a nutshell. Pretty exciting. I actually did manage, strangely enough, while I was there, this was in the OR, to get a bunch of stuff done on the Survivor's Quest. Like, I was totally like, don't want to think about this, can't actually help at all, must work on the Survivor's Quest. I got, like, a ton of contact dialogue done. Like, pretty much, not quite all, but the vast majority of the Survivor's Quest dialogue, so I apologize in advance if it's, like, super angsty or utterly overrun with typos, because, I wrote that, like, in the neat little, like, atrium waiting room thing. It only had, like, power outlets everywhere, and, like, screens like they have in airports, telling you, like, if your flight's delayed or whatever. They had screens like that for all of the patients that were in the OR, and that was actually pretty cool, like, little buzzers like they give you a restaurant sometime for news. It was definitely a professional operation, but and they had a nice lady coming around with cookies and coffee, which I desperately needed at that point. When I actually opened this thread, I just put out the new internally, I just call it Ghoul 2, which is way lamer, I'm sure, than the name I actually gave for it, in-game. But Yeah, I had just put that out, and had, and was about to get into the fishing revamp. So yeah, a lot, right in the middle of a bunch of content. It's some good stuff, and that's actually all gone over, I think, very well. Well, let's get into the questions, and if there's anything that struck me about that content that doesn't get asked about, I'll go ahead and talk about it at the end. Alright, starting off, a couple questions from Argith. Ruckus! That's referencing the actual questions, but I just thought it was funny. We spoke to you before about the non-located game warfare avatars. You told us it needed to be something very specific done repeatedly. I don't think anyone's closer to guessing what it is, so I figured I'd toss a, are we confused enough to get a hint now? No, but you're confused enough to get more avatars, actually. I added, I'm not sure if I specifically mentioned the last one I added. But over the past, like, maybe, like, couple months, I've added two. So if a while back I was like, oh, I added an avatar, I've added another avatar since then. And if I haven't mentioned remotely recently that I added any, I've added two. So I apologize if that utterly destroys destroys the numbering scheme somewhere, but I have added some recently, and they are available. But as far as the one that you're wondering about, it's, I have a feeling that when someone actually starts digging there, they'll be like, oh, this would be a really good place to put a PvP avatar, and then proceed to find it. And it's just nobody's even remotely started digging there. And that's fine with me. I don't really see any great, you know, soul-rending need to point that out. I kind of like, as I've said before, having cool stuff that that folks haven't discovered. And, like, if it were just an avatar, I might give better hints, but there's actually, like, a whole pretty sizable, like, chunk of content that is just kind of chilling. So, we'll let it chill until somebody, you know, finds it and decides to actually investigate it. I mean, people have located it. It's just kind of skimmed right over. Should we be on the lookout for any new holidays, or are we clear until August? I'm not coming up with any. You should be fine until then. I mean, the Survivor's Quest might be coming up before August. In which case, there will be some pseudo-holiday-ish events. If nothing else, just me announcing that it'll be coming out shortly, and then, you know, the new, talking about the new leaderboards, and awarding, you know, the old leaderboards, and then, you know, rolling out the content. But, yeah, there's, I should really endeavor to drop in some more holidays in the earlier part of the year. I've said this before, but, like, I need to do, like, I don't know, like, Valentine's Day or Easter or something, because it's really just, like, August, end of October, December, really, like, for the content-y holidays. And that's very, like, heavily weighted towards the end of the year. I guess, well, actually, okay, all right, there's the kernel of an idea starting down there. So, yeah. We'll probably get something more towards the beginning and middle of the year at some point. I don't foresee that happening this year, but, I'll be thinking about it. There aren't really very many, like, I mean, we've got, like, Memorial Day, obviously, like, this weekend, like, tomorrow. In the U.S. here. And, like, I've always kind of wanted to do a, like, Memorial Day or Veterans Day, like, even if it's not associated with the actual, like, you know, dates in the U.S. here, with a little storyline about the last war and, like, what actually happened there, to get a little more backstory and, you know, some neat holiday content, because who doesn't like neat holiday content? So if I'm ever, like, man, I totally need a new holiday in, like, the beginning of the year. Or, like, you know, more towards, like, March, April, May. Or, you know, June, July, I guess that whole span. I don't really feel the need to get anything in January or February. At least not January, because you're just coming off, like, Christmas, New Year's in January. I guess in a perfect world, at some time in the distant future, I would like to have, like, maybe, like, a holiday a month or something. Like, maybe, like, you know, New Year's, and then, Valentine's Day. I was like, what holiday comes in February again? And so forth. I might have to, you know, just pin down Easter and say, by the time that, you know, the timeline in Metroplex rolls along, they've finally decided to stop deciding when Easter is on the lunar calendar, because it just drives me up a wall. I can never remember when Easter is. So I can only imagine that, you know, in 80 years, I might have, you know, figured it out. I guess, yeah, 80 is the top end of that. But, okay. So to actually answer the question, yeah, you should be clear until August. I was just kind of thinking out loud there. Unless I decide to jump with the Memorial Veterans-y sort of thing. We'll see. Where are your rebel friends now? I can only assume that I talked about my friends from high school in one of the previous podcasts. One of them dropped out of law school and is in medical school now. Another one had a series of really high-paying IT jobs and then went into law school. Probably for the right reasons. I think he wants to, like, help people and stuff using the dark arts. And he got out, like, right before the IT bubble popped, so it was kind of, like, good timing either way. One of them is, I'm not actually sure what he's doing. Probably teaching. That's what all of his degrees are in. And by all of his degrees, he majored in, like, 80 things. So he has, like, the octuple Jesus majors bachelor degree. Actually, I think one of them was religious studies, so we can throw the Jesus in there. But he had been teaching in, like, a tiny village in Alaska, and I say village not, like, in a disparaging way, like, literally, like, they were in the middle of nowhere. They didn't have, like, a grocery store. And you could not get to a grocery store. Like, you had to have groceries, like, airdropped to you. So, yeah, like, totally, like, old school, like, in the middle of nowhere. Paid really well, though, apparently. Now he's apparently has a girlfriend or wife or something, which is kind of cool. We have another who ended up, is working at a deli in Madison. I just found out recently, from my arch nemesis, who's kind of, like, ancillary to that group of friends, who visited recently. Not me directly, but my girlfriend from high school, who lives down the street from me. Seriously, we own, like, I don't know, maybe, like, 10th house down from them or something, like the house that we just moved into. It's like 10 houses down from my girlfriend from high school, and we went to high school in north central Wisconsin, and we're in the middle of Ohio now, so that's like you go down from Wisconsin, you hit Illinois, and you go over, you hit Indiana, and then you go over more and you hit Ohio. So it's a small world after all. It makes a little more sense when you realize that my girlfriend from high school's husband is my wife's boss. So if you want to get into the weirdness there. I think I mentioned this before, actually, but Amanda, being my girlfriend from high school, loves telling people that her husband married her boyfriend from high school, being me, because August, her husband, actually performed Liz and I's wedding ceremony. So, like, you can definitely definitely, it provide very much the wrong impression there, which has led to a suitable amount of polarity over the years. Made a very good choice on choosing our person to perform the ceremony. Blanking on what that's called. They're not like a priest. Adjutant or something weird like that. Anyway, so yeah, that's kind of where they're all spread out doing various and sundry things. For the most part, like, more or less where you'd expect them to be, I guess. It kind of demands, like, the 10 years later, like, little after-the-credits thing from, like, an 80s movie. And, of course, we all have, you know, terrible mullets if it was an 80s movie. But. Does Richard offer any assistance depending on your reward from the Little Black Book? He isn't really aware of what happens to the book after he gives it to you. He gives that to you for a good reason, man, and is cutting himself off from it, if that makes any sense. And we might explore that links at some point later, but he's not aware at all with what you end up doing with the book, so I wouldn't expect him to respond to it, no. Alright, some questions from Al. Whoa, a lot of questions from Al. So we have items, effects, skills, techniques, tools, and recipes stored by ID number. Presumably, opponents and encounters also have ID numbers, but they don't seem to be attainable in-game. Are there any other things stored by ID that could be spaded? Let's see. Well, you're right about opponents and encounters. Those are. Communication. The dialogue you have with your contacts is stored very similarly to how choice encounters work, which, I mean, makes sense if you look at, you know, the interface. They're pretty much like choice encounters. Obviously, like, all the code's different, really. Well, the important parts of the code aren't different, but the interface code's different a little bit. But the, let's see, locations and sublocations are different. Are stored with ID numbers. I don't think they're visible anywhere. You could probably guess the location numbers, like Southside is 1, and Docks are 2, and Metrobrooks University is 3, and Outside the Slags is 4, and Inside the Slags is 5. So okay, it's got like each map, basically. So when I add Old Town will be 6. So, unless I got crazy before that. Crazy! Which I might. I don't know. I'm not making any promises. But, yeah, the sublocations also have numbers. But those would be kind of useful if you could view them, but you can't. Sorry. The way that you have them organized in the wiki is usually about right. Like, if you have an area that has the same name, but, like, Undergate goes a complete transformation, like, there are few or no encounters that are shared between the two, that's probably actually two different areas. The two charnel houses are two different sublocations. They just happen to have, you know, the same name, the same spot you click on to go to them. And, like, obviously, like, within the game structure, are the same thing. You know, the same place, but code-wise, it's just way faster, processing-wise, to split them up so that it doesn't have to check all of the encounters for both of them and then throw out half of them. Furniture? Has numbers? I'm not honestly sure off the top of my head if those are visible anywhere. I would guess that they are. So that might be worth something. Let's see. It's all that's jumping to mind. I mean, I think Al might be up on this a little bit. I'm not sure about anybody else. But if you work with SQL at all, it's kind of standard practice to give everything numbers. So you have like the item IDs and then like the inventory table, which by the way is absolutely gargantuan, but the inventory table has like your player ID and then just the item number and then the quantity, and then it actually pulls from using the item ID, it pulls any other information it may need. So if it's like, oh, what does this item actually, you know, do, it uses the item ID to find that, or, you know, what the picture is, if it needs that, or what type of item it is, or what its bonuses it gives. Those are all in a separate table, or a separate table is really kind of scattered around with different functions, depending on what exactly it's doing. How do you choose planned bonuses for items and effects when putting in a new zone? For this new quest, for example, do you plan stuff that would be useful for a player in run, or are you assuming it's someone who's retrieved their items and has extensive collection? The only place that it really assumes you have an extensive collection is with some of the PvP rewards. Everything else is assuming that you're in run at this point. And even the stuff from PvP that's assuming that you have, you know, your stuff back, that will probably get overstripped at some point. Because, I mean, there's like the trajectory of, you know, character growth. And we're about, you know, halfway through the story, and if you think what the stuff you have now, ignoring donation items, with the stuff you have now compared to the stuff that you have, you know, in Southside, and then kind of extrapolate up from there, you'll see, I think, that there's nothing really that won't be outstripped. Actually, there's a couple of, like, categories of things that you will get, that you're still looking forward to. So, yeah, it's definitely designed for use in run. okay, there's one exception that's me being a giant jerk. Huge jerk. Like, wow, I'm a jerk. Okay, so aside from that one, everything is designed with that in mind. When somebody finds what I'm talking about, you'll know exactly why I'm saying that it's designed and wise. Let's see. For that matter, once the game is done, will you envision players spending most of their time with most of their inventory locked away, or will there be stuff to do after you've retrieved your items? Yes. The meat of the game, really, like, the main gameplay, is the main quest line, and the alternate paths that will run parallel to the main quest line. However, there's gonna be a lot of other stuff. I mean, you've already seen Gang Warfare, and that will continue to evolve as we go forward, and I will continue to get yelled at by people as, like, you know, balance changes back and forth. Actually, I had a kind of funny message conversation back and forth with the Argus a while back about a specific imbalance in PvP. And it's kind of like, well, alright, so this is assuming that, you know, that there's nothing that you haven't found which changes that balance, which is almost invariably wrong. Like, there is a bunch of stuff that hasn't been found, and a lot of it could change the balance in PvP, one way or another. I mean, some of it wouldn't at all, but, you know. And it's also assuming that I think that it's important to have the balance fine-tuned when, you know, the Survivor's Quest will come out in, hopefully, soon. And, you know, wipe that all clean again. Start over. And, you know, that I ever think that it has to really be fine-tuned. But, so, that was a wild divergence. But anyway, there are some areas that I want to put in that will go in eventually, and this is like the way eventually, right? We're not talking like, oh yeah, like as soon as the final quest goes in, that those will go in, but like way in the future, that will be basically entirely for people who have, you know, all of their resources available. And they're pretty cool. I mean, stuff that if I put in now would just be dumb. It's like, you go there, you die. You go there, you die. You go there, you die. So, well, those will come in later, obviously. Is Fire Tamer currently obtainable skill from the problems in the Docks quest? Not really. Like, the code's in there, but I would not call it obtainable, no. Any hints? No, I think we're good. Do you expect it to take so long to be discovered? Actually, I expected it to take way longer. No, there's just a... It went in there with the intent that I didn't really know exactly when people will be able to get it, but it'll be a bit. I expect it to be a bit, at least, before people can legitimately get it. Maybe until launch or after launch, I don't really know exactly. I guess if I wanted to, I could do the math, but yeah. So I just put it in there, and when people can get it, they can get it. But I didn't really, and I'm not really planning to advertise it as available, because I don't honestly think anyone could get it yet. Although, yeah, feel free to prove me wrong, because code is there, but, I haven't tested it yet, but I imagine that this new Remembering Recipes update, which is awesome, will make getting Sushi Chef much easier in run. Intended? I always imagine getting all your recipes back at the same time as you retrieve your items. Well, thanks, first of all. I'm glad people like the Remember Recipes update. It doesn't actually make Sushi Chef any easier. The way Sushi Chef works is transparent from one perspective and really, really weird from another perspective. I'm sorry if that's totally unhelpful, but that's the way it is. So, yeah. It's functionally there's no change in what you have to do to get it. It's just it looks a little different from your end, I suppose. I always imagine getting all your recipes back at the same time as you retrieve your items. I already read that once, but I wanted to separately mention it. I've kind of thought about that some. I see recipes as a... Well, there are two kinds of recipes in my mind, and they work through the same system, but bear with me. There are two kinds of recipes. There are recipes that are basically just interface benefits, right? Like, okay, you've got, you know, your Doc Pike, and you've got your Sushi Nori, and you're going to make a Doc Roll. If you want to make, you know, 100 Doc Rolls, or you don't want to remember what it takes exactly to make a Doc Roll each time, or just find them in drop-downs, that's what the recipe. Those recipes are there for, right? It's just an automation thing. But the other kind of recipes are ones that are gained as not necessarily as part of the plot line, although some of them are, like the sliced antidote recipe, for example. And those are separate. And those, you know, don't come back and won't be coming back. But, so the interface helper ones, right? Like, the ones that you could do as soon as you experiment, but just, like, don't necessarily, like, have done with each of them. I like to have those. As an interface issue, I just wanted those to get back basically as soon as possible. Because you can still do all of those recipes. There's no reason to really make you remember all of them yourself. So I wanted them to come back right away when you got experimentation. Admittedly, if I hadn't tried to do that, it probably would have been quicker. No, not really. Not appreciably quicker. It would have been, like, an hour less coding. So it would have been, like, not even the day before. Like, I would have just sat around for another hour waiting for it to roll out. Do efficient skill levels work the same way now as they did before, except without explicit you were getting better at phishing messages? Edit, it looks like it doesn't. But care to explain how it used to work? Yeah, sure. I mean, at least, like, a little bit. It used to be that every time you went fishing, there was a roll against a difficulty level, basically. And you, if your fishing, I hesitate to say skill, because that's obviously just from the golf, but if your fishing rank was less than that, you would gain a point. And that was handled, actually through where all of your other flags are, so, like, where, like, your quest progress is stored and stuff like that. And then, like, every five of those was, you know, a named tier until you got up to, Beyond Reproach. And it just kind of, that was just kind of that, I ran out of names, level. Which needed to be higher, in retrospect, but that's neither here nor there. You could get up to, like, up to Beyond Approach, but that was, like, 50, and you could get up to 80. Maybe higher? No, it was definitely 80. And then, like, once you got to that, you're basically capped out. But since there wasn't any gain messages or, you know, differences in title past there, it made it pretty hard to see exactly what was going on. Now it works totally differently. Not only the obvious thing that I think Al's talking about here, which is that the ranks are exponential rather than linear. So it's not like 5, 5, 5, 5, 5. It's, you know, 1, 4, 9, 16, etc. I think that answers your question. Yeah. And then the fishing bonus has just added an amount equal to a named tier. So 5-point locks, basically. And the new system has really, like, no relationship at all to the old system. Like, yeah. Like, I would say less than zero if that made any sense in a different conversation. Christmas tree ornament souvenirs are an awesome idea, but it would seem to be better if we could look at other people's trees as well? Question mark. I'm not really sure how that becomes a question exactly, but I've actually been thinking the same thing. I have been thinking the same thing, kind of lackadaisically on and off since Christmas. I may do that at some point if I, well, I will do that at some point. How about that? I may do that actually fairly soon. I was actually thinking about it yesterday, and then you said it, and that increases the chance that I'll actually do something. There's a little bit of, contact dialogue I need to finish up for Survivor Quest, and then I might do that before I jump into the last couple of crongs that I need to fix up. And by fix up, I mean, like, do. So, that's not like, oh, I'm in the final stretch. Although, realistically, I am in the final stretch. That was a, like, there's still two quests, each maybe the size of, like, we'll say, like, the docks quest that I need to do. But that makes it sound like it'll take forever, and it probably won't actually be that long, assuming my life doesn't keep, you know, exploding. If you have the experience to observe a skill, would the game be able to remember the oil slick choices for you, like how the puzzle box behaves on their puzzle site? I mean, no. I mean, well, obviously, like, it's possible, for it to do that. It would be kind of ugly. But actually, the way it's coded now would be incredibly ugly. But it would also be weird, like, display-wise, depending on how we wanted to do that. And it wouldn't actually be tied to the skill, because that would make that trivial when you actually got into being able to retain skills between resets. So, in theory, I could do that. I don't honestly think I'm going to, though. So, sorry, but I kind of like it the way it is. If you want to write, you know, Firefox add-on to get around that, I won't, you know, hunt you down or anything, but I'm pretty content with it working that way. Are there any plans for a pool school? Did I ask this in an earlier podcast? Sorry if I did. There are no plans for a pool school, no. I don't think you asked that before. You might have, though. It would give me an excuse to get a arc for, like, an 8-ball so that I could use it for the skill. But that's, like, my grandest motivation for it. So, that's, yeah, probably not high on my list. The reason why chess is a skill, well, shows up a little bit already if you look into the, if you look into what chess is there already. But pool isn't something that's likely to show up more than, like, one or two more times, like, in the entire game. So, probably won't bother. I only really, like, the amount of chess that's shown up so far, like, is not a bad, like, projection going forward. For the amount of, like, chests that will continue to show up. But, yeah. And the amount of pool now at, like, you know, once, basically, will, you know, is also a good indicator. Looking back in the old Deathlog entry announcing the problems on the Docks quest, I see mention of four new skills, all of which are accounted for: Pyro, Kingly Favor, Ghoul Touched, and Born of Sorrow. But that doesn't rule out the possibility that the skill could have gone along the way, e.g. by doing something like fire, even if it's not, strictly speaking, a reward for the quest. I'm just saying this to amplify Al's question, lest you wriggle out of things by giving a literally true misleading answer. I think I actually more or less answered Al's question. It's Fire Tamer isn't included in the list because I am pretty sure it's not attainable. I mean, it's, like I said, it's in the code, it's there, like, obviously, like, the skill works, And does, you know, its things, which, I mean, are fairly simple, but, you know, its things. But, you know, it's not actually, I don't think, at least I don't think it's gettable yet. I should really just do the math so I can say for sure, but I don't think so. Eating any of the three kinds of sushi derived from massive tentacle gives an identical message about it being gummy. Similarly, all the eyeless eel-derived sushi gives a message about being not being remotely palatable. In any other game, I just write that off as being too lazy to think of unique messages and copying and pasting. But in this game, where your quest log differs based on whether you're carrying one, exactly two, or three or more items, looks more like a clue. If so, is it a clue that we can actually follow up on now, or is it a hook for eventual cooking system or something? Well, I guess since you sugared me up with appreciation on the bothering to go through and differentiate based on whether it's one, two, or three or more items. There's a couple of actually funny other places where that shows up. I don't think anyone's noticed the most recent one, but it's pretty adorable. Anyway. I'm a real stickler for that. I don't know why. Like, the rest of my grammar is terrible a lot of the time, but I just cannot tolerate, like, item one, comma, and item two. F that. Anyway. But yes, those are both clues that you can follow up on. One of them might result in people, like, punching me in the genitals when they figure it out. It's pretty neat. Like, I like it a lot. But yeah. But yeah, they're both, they both do things. And there's another thing that does something similar to the gumminess, but it's probably less obvious, because the items are less in number. Yeah, sorry, that was completely unhelpful, I apologize. But yeah, there are lots of little things like that, lots of little text flags to let you know that, like, there are effects which may be, like, mutually exclusive, or which may be, you know, related to some central effect. There are times where I, you know, as a terrible human being, will actually add something in that's just, like, more or less invisible. Like, oh, if I decided, like, a certain food would get, like, a... Oh, here we go, here we go, here we go. This is... Oh, actually, no, I added a text flag on that. Oh, no, never mind. Okay, ignore me. I was thinking that the hot dogs thing from the net didn't say, like, oh, hot dogs are so delicious, when you had them after the message about liking hot dogs so much. But it's not in there. Anyway, there are places where I would slip in, like, a you know, plus one energy, or, like, maybe some additional, you know, XP or something, without saying anything out loud. Oh, I got it. Here we go. Okay, so, here's my example. Alright, so the items from the avian bosses regarding the Cloak of Feathers doesn't explicitly say anything when it increases your XP from the encounters with the Cloak of Feathers. But it just, you know, does it in the background. Okay. There are lots of things like that. But as a rule, I like to give a little bit of a heads up in the form of, like, a text like that. So yeah. Text is good. But yeah, so yeah, those are flags of that type, and, you know, like, this reminds you of, you know, Primordial Seas, obviously, is text like that. The hot dogs one, which I thought was an example for the other category, but wasn't, is text like that. So yeah. And there's a bunch of other ones of those that are, like, buried in the depths of, you know, the wiki that people just think are part of the normal item text that actually aren't. Probably. Ooh. Wow. I'd hate to guess, but we'll say, like, at least a dozen or so. that a lot of people just have no idea about. I could be wrong, though. I would have to look through the wiki pretty religiously to find out. So, Lava Man. Just a couple questions. So I've been attempting to bash away of getting through to Dr. Johnson. Without necessarily giving a hint about how to do so, could I get a hint on where to look for hints for getting through to him? Wow. Okay. Hints for where... Alright. There's only one hint here that I can come up with that, but I think it will result in you wanting to punch me in the face. Okay. That said, please don't punch me in the face, but, the thing that you're missing there is time. He doesn't have enough time. And, again, I apologize for the vagueness of my clue, and please don't punch me in the face. Okay. Is it his various... Oh, I guess this is actually more of the same question. Is it his various texts, his team, the computer? Actually, there's some pretty neat stuff in there. But... Yeah, I would investigate that neat stuff separately. I should actually go in and add more things to Dr. Johnson. Like, he seems to really, like, attract attention to himself. He's actually there for a very specific purpose, which nobody has even remotely figured out, which may be why he's attracting so much attention. So, we shall see. Also, is there a way to damage the statue in the charnel house before closing it? Before you close the charnel house. Well, I mean, there's an option there to, you know, beat on the statue. That might be there because some combination of effects allows you to get a different result. Or it might be there just, you know, to grant you a bunch of strength XP. I would say the world may never know, but the world will assuredly figure it out eventually. There's that. Regarding the skill from tech, other than the obvious bit of needing a book equipped, is there any specific trigger for acquiring the skill that we should be looking for? Is it random, semi-random? Actually, let me check. I'm pretty sure it's actually at most semi-random. Nope. Totally not random at all, actually. 0% randomness. Nada. I should warn you that... things in games tend to be kind of closed systems. Where, like, you know, there's, like, A input and A output and, like, it's kind of like, you know, maybe, like, a counter in the middle or something like that. Traumatech is a lot more complicated than that, but not in, like, a really soul-rending sort of way, probably. Going through a couple of runs, spading it, may very easily just result in you finding out the actual answer painlessly enough. But if you misstep, there are some pretty serious, like, monkey wrenches that may show up. But still not random, but there's a lot going on under the hood there, not all of which will really jump out at you. So I apologize if any people are driven mad by attempting to, you know, spade that. But yeah, okay, sorry. That's I hope that helped, but it's not random at all. There's that. Okay, so let's see. Well, it doesn't actually. I don't think I talked too much about. Well, I talked a little bit about the Ghoul Quest, which I think went very well. There's still some goodies that people haven't uncovered yet. Actually, at least one of them. Well, some of them are hidden kind of jerkishly. Some of them I think are actually hidden sort of in plain sight. But I think people will slowly discover them over time. One of them actually, when somebody figures it out, might help them figure out something earlier, which is also undiscovered, but awesome, and would actually make Argith happy, if Argith is listening. Both of them, either together or separately. But the, yeah, there's still a lot going on there, and, there's some pretty intense skill stuff going on there. It's like 7, I want to say, new skills related to that. It's actually not quite as many as the Ghost Shift, which is kind of interesting. But yeah, there's a lot of depth. And then we had the fishing revamp, which I think has gone over pretty well. The extreme bass fishing sub revamp, which I was kind of surprised how long it took for the fact that it gave you a sight in the net to check out the leaderboard. I'm surprised that it took as long as it did to show up on the wiki, but it's there now. Lots of interesting stuff there. okay, I'm a bad person. Not in the same way as other things, but I think people will really enjoy some of the content related to that. Let's see. Oh yeah, the general fishing revamp, I think, went really well. There were, you know, the usual slate of bugs, but fishing is a lot more depth. There's a lot more textured now. Partially, you know, because you can really target things, and it'll take a while, I think, before people figure out exactly what they can do with that. But yeah, lots of cool stuff going on there. Let's see. Oh, and of course the tackle box, which I think it's kind of an interesting approach to the donation item. I'm not sure how often I'll end up doing it, that sort of thing, but the kind of rolling the revamp into the donation item, I think worked out really well. The donation item is sort of, I'm not going to say the key to the revamp, but it'll definitely help make the revamp make a bit more sense in places. At least help explore it when people decide to start beating away at it. Although, obviously, there are similar tools for people who didn't donate. I made sure that there's some duplication there. And hey, yeah, as I think it was Meg, pointed out, one of the very few donation items that isn't in any way, like, creepy or unearthly or, you know, crystalline or oozing or, you know, made of some sort of bizarre, unearthly substance. Which, I mean, they are, you know, unearthly items. You know, Zach's got connections, but it's nice to have the occasional, just totally legitimate, not even stolen, option in there. And progress on the Survivor's Quest, so there's a bunch of subquests, right? I've talked about this a little bit before, and we've got one of the really hard ones done. The two like kind of less difficult ones done. All of the almost not quite, all of the dialogue. And the new side quest that you got is actually kind of folded in there. And there's still, it's kind of three quests. But yeah. There are some more things that are kind of similar to that in a similar vein, that will show up, that I still have to do. So content-wise, I'm well over half done. And I've got almost all of the NPC dialogue done. Just as inexplicably a pain. And most of like the crafting stuff is done, stuff like that. So yeah, actually we're doing really good on that. So we'll see. Hopefully I'll have it out before Metroplex Day. Don't have anything bizarre planned coming up, other than, you know, unpacking my house and taking care of my wife a little bit, and going to Gen Con. Oh yeah, if anybody is going to Gen Con this year, I will be there all 4 days, and going to Video Games Live. Video Games Live is so awesome. If you ever get a chance to go see Video Games Live, I'm presuming that everyone who listens to this podcast has at least a passing interest in video games. If you don't, you may not like Video Games Live. But as this is a video game of sorts, and this is a podcast, which implies sort of a higher level of, you know, involvement, Video Games Live is so awesome. Oh, my God. Alright, that said, I'm also going to True Dungeon, which deserves a similarly, filled, rave, but I already just did one. My throat's getting kind of sore, so we'll just say that True Dungeon is also fantabulous, and if you have a kidney that you can sell or something to get tickets, or, you know, have friends in high and or low places, strongly suggested. They apparently have Dragon this year, which is going to be awesome. At least I hope it's going to be awesome. They pretty much managed to out-awesome themselves every year. They had a pretty sweet giant, like, 2 years ago. They had a really good troll. Oh, and, like, the giant snake last year. It was good. Oh, sorry. Okay. Actually, to explain remotely what either of those things are, Video Games Live is a, it's a symphony concert. They have, like, a traveling core group, which is basically just, like, conductors. So it would be a guest conductor with your normal local symphony for wherever you're going to, the Indianapolis Symphony, in this case, who are very good on their by their own rights. The traveling conductor, instead of being, like, oh, I don't know, like, some random guy who does, like, classical or, you know, modern music or what have you, does a series of either direct video game music or, like, stuff inspired directly by video game music. So, like, you know, you'll have, like, your entire symphony, like, jamming out, you know, to, like, the Halo theme or, like, you know, World of Warcraft music or, like, Warcraft music in general. They have an entire, like, kind of like a movement of a symphony, almost, length piece that's, like, just Warcraft music that's fantastic. And, like, Civilization, and, like, Myst, like, of course, like, Mario Brothers and Zelda, and, this is a really cute piece that they usually do at the beginning, that's Pong, and, like, the Castlevania, rock, which is fantastic, and I would try to reproduce it now if it wouldn't sound absolutely hysterical, so that's all really cool. Like, if you, and, like, Final Fantasy, obviously. I could go on. They have this huge list of, like, different pieces that they perform. They usually do, like, you know, a normal, like, concert set of them, so they don't do all of them every time. Actually, I've seen them twice, and they did, like, maybe three or four pieces that were the same, and the other, like, seven or eight were different, something like that. But yeah, just phenomenal. And if, yeah, you're kind of, like, in the plugged into video games generation, like mine or anybody that's younger, like, we're kind of, like, as much as television, like we were really kind of into video games. You'll really appreciate it. And they have like a sort of like a floor show that goes along with it. It's a little more engaging than your standard symphony concert. And if you already like symphony concerts, this is kind of an awesome compare and contrast. Like the quality of a live symphony concert with like a completely full concert hall of like raving geeks is just it tugs the heartstrings. It really does. And then True Dungeon is so if you play D&D, and if you don't play D&D, very little of this will probably make a ton of sense, but if you play D&D, every time that you explain to someone who has no idea what D&D is, what D&D is like, they usually end up assuming that, like, you dress up like a wizard and, like, other people dress up as, like, orcs and stuff, and you, like, fight it out, and then you have to kind of, like, walk them back from that. I'm sure you've had that experience at least once if you try to explain to other people what D&D is like, but this is actually kind of like that. Like, they actually have, like, a dungeon built. You go through, and, like, you have, like, your character sheet, and so, like, for the fights, fights are actually really cool. You do kind of, like, this... Oh, God, it's kind of like... Not skee ball. What is it that old people play? Shuffleboard. So it's a little bit like shuffleboard. You would understand it if you saw it. But there's a little bit, like, a little bit more physical dexterity, but nothing that you couldn't do. Even if you had some physical problems, but like you're actually wandering around in the dungeon, like there are some, like actual like physical puzzles, that you do and like, traps you disarm, kind of like operation. And yeah, it's pretty phenomenal. Okay, so, like, you got, like, that baseline, which is kind of, like, yeah, like, a little, like, cool if you're into D&D, but, like, has, like, a pretty, like, noticeable veneer of, like, the you have to be a giant dork to do this, and it helps. But they've been doing this for, like, 6 or 7 years now. Quite a while, at least. Maybe not quite that long. You'll have... like a half animatronic harpy last year, and like the giant, which was very cool, and the huge snake, which was Ayu's, which was like filled up like, yeah, like not quite half the room, but like definitely like got out there. And like there are traps that like interact with you, like as people, like a trap that sprays poison, and everyone who personally gets hit by, you know, the poison gets. Their character takes damage, that sort of thing. They do a really good job of integrating it. Unfortunately, you pretty much have to either have, like, the foresight of camping the site that they post the tickets on, and just, like, refreshing the day that they come out, and hoping you get some before the site invariably crashes. The Gen Con site, not True Dungeon, it's not their fault. Or know somebody who does, which thankfully Liz and I do, to get through to that. So if anyone's coming to Gen Con, I will say hey, and, like, give you high fives and stuff. We can talk about Metroplexity. I guess if I'm feeling especially feisty, I might do a podcast from Gen Con, but I doubt that. I will try to make sure that Metroplex Day has a announcement in the updates log this year, because I will... Oh, actually, I think Metroplex Day does not fall on Gen Con last year. That's why I didn't have an update last year in the normal updates page. That was kind of... There was a lot of bug reports for something that I had set to hopefully fire and forget. That was a pretty intense evening, which should go pretty smoothly this time, hopefully. that's all I've got for you today. Everybody, really, thanks for listening, and thanks for playing and being part of the community, and you know, donating and helping out and saying hey to new players and forming gangs and, you know, killing each other in gangs. And, hope you've enjoyed the new side quest and the fishing revamp, and hopefully I'll have the survivor's quest for you in not too much longer. I'm once bitten, twice shy as far as the as far as giving another date, but I'm feeling pretty bullish, let's say. Bullish is the good one, right? I always forget. I think bearish is the bad one. Doesn't matter. I'm feeling good about the Survivor's Quest. And Puyo will be moving out here soonish. I know that I've said that like 80 times now. But she's got an official transfer date, and she just basically needs to, like, she's kind of got a date to transfer away from her current store, and she just needs to hear from one of the stores here saying that they want somebody. I don't think it'll be too much longer. That should be, like, the, I think it's the end of next month, June, yeah. So, yeah, maybe in a month or so. And then that will kick off some interesting things. A couple of things that I want to do when she does get here are, I'm thinking about doing custom avatars, if people are interested in those. And I'm thinking about going through and doing sort of like a new pass over some of the art. Like the art for pistol shot, single shot rather, is kind of pixelated. Not super happy with, like, the university map, that sort of thing. Kind of, like, collecting those ideas, and, like, Puyo and I can sit down and kind of go over them. That'd be cool. So, that's what I've got for today. And like I said, thanks, and have a good one. And I hope to see at least one of you at Gen Con. If not, I will just have to regale you with the tales when I come back. Have a great one, everyone.